Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Hub Arkish.
Hub Score Stories time from the rock and roll file. Young Hub Arkish got a chance to see Pete Townsend. He's celebrating a birthday today. He's 75.
Some people have a hard time explaining rock and roll. I don't think anyone can really explain rock and roll. Maybe Pete Townsend.
The Who, I believe your favorite band.
Pete Townsend, Moon was an incredible drummer. John Entwistle, a lot of people think, is, you know, the best bass player ever. Townsend's the interesting character because in those days he was writing it all, and he had that signature move, the, you know, the 360
the
arm swing on the chords. Yeah.
But you must really love his music, huh?
Yeah, he's pretty good, I guess.
You're damn right he is.
Right.
So tell me, what's your favorite song of his?
Other than that, I think he was a bit overrated as a lead guitarist. You go back and listen to a lot of the Who stuff. It's great music.
I have a right.
But he was certainly never in a Keith Richards or Eric Clapton type class.
Meh. But the TV gave me the impression that...
We said meh. M-E-H. Meh.
But they were just a great, great band. And
yeah, I had a feeling you'd say that today.
It's good to see you. You have terrible taste in music.
I think he was a bit overrated.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Happy Scorantine Day 43. Who are we celebrating today, man? Pete Townsend yesterday. Who do we got today?
We've got a local rock and roll nugget a little bit later on. Raymond Daniel Manzarek of the Doors. We'll do that today. But
I think he was a bit overrated.
Hub Arkish, had the Who been on the mind of Nick Shepkowski yesterday, he probably would have beaten Hub to that take on Pete Townsend. Shep was thinking about the music of the Eagles yesterday, so that's where his hot take went. But the texters came pouring in for Hub's thoughts on Pete Townsend being overrated. And, he's half right on the Eric Clapton part. Keith Richards, as much as I love him, I think he's one of the coolest guys who's ever walked the planet, probably has never been the best guitar player in his own band. I think Brian Jones and Mick Taylor and Roddy Wood probably have been better than he has been at any point in the Stones' career. But Keith's a face of the band as much as, you know, the front man is almost. But you ask who we're celebrating today on day 43, and the answer to that is a guy from a sport who we don't typically associate with jersey numbers because they don't wear jersey numbers, but they have a number on the vehicle they drive. And according to Bleacher Report, the all-time 43 comes to us from the world of stock car racing. His nickname was the King. Who was he, Danny Parkins?
Dale Earnhardt.
No, he was not nicknamed the King. He was nicknamed the Intimidator. And somebody said 5 minutes after he passed, you can't intimidate a brick wall. Shep, nice. Help him out there. Prove you're a Coal City man.
He drove the STP car, light blue, little red to it, Danny. That do anything for you? Wore the
Richard
big
Petty.
Hats all the time with the big sun. Yeah, there you go. Right. Now you you're got right. it.
He got it. Yeah. I'm happy for you, Time. I watched the Bears-Packers game in a suite at Lambeau Field sitting next to Richard Petty. That's a brush with greatness. I never will forget back in 01. That was great. Sitting by the king. It was a lot of fun. He's a big football fan. And he was a very approachable guy. He was a very happy man that day. But he's the all-time 43, according to Bleacher Report, followed closely by Troy Polamalu. Troy Polamalu could have driven a race car faster than anybody.
All right, no love for Damaso Marte, but whatever. I guess we'll just keep going here.
The Sandman, Damaso Marte. And the other who checked in was Dennis Eckersley. Dennis.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yes. And yes, Texter, who nailed the milkman, Herbert Perry. He was probably my favorite 43 locally. Bears have not had a long list of very good 43s. But, yeah, it's Richard Petty Day today. Scorantine Day 43.
So we've got Steve Stone on the show today at 3 o'clock. We got Scott Podsednik on the show today at 4 o'clock. So we're going to be doing some baseball. And I try to just be as transparent with you guys and the audience as I can every single day. I think it's what I learned from UMAC way back in the day when I was just listening to you. You know, live your life on the radio, be transparent, be honest, share how you're feeling, let the chips fall where they may. I felt like very conflicted throughout this pandemic, right? Like some days you have good days, some days you have bad days, some days you have optimistic days, some days you have pessimistic days, whether you're talking about like sports, health, the economy, whatever. Like, there's so much information and it's so conflicting that it's hard. And that's why I think a lot of people are dealing with anxiety and just general uncertainty. Salute. Like, it's been weird. And in sports today, this is what I've taken in, because it seems to me fairly obvious at this point. We're going to give this a go. Right? Like, we're going to try. Even the states where it's the worst, California, New York, Illinois, for the most part, the leadership in those states is like, yeah, we'll be open to pro sports when pro sports comes back. And good. Like, we want them to try for there to be sports. But then it just seems to go like three steps beyond that, in the interest of greed and money. And let me give you a couple of examples here that I've just seen in the last hour or so as I've been getting ready for the show. The athletic director at The Ohio State University, Gene Smith, said that he is confident that a plan can be implemented where 20 to 30,000 people can attend football games in the Horseshoe this year.
This year. Yes. That's how they're thinking in Columbus. This year.
30,000 people.
That's less than a third of the capacity. 30,000 people still is a significant group of people that takes a long time to get into a stadium and in no way will have any degree of success maintaining a 6-foot distance.
In the majority of like highly populated places in this country, the official recommendation is still to not meet in groups of larger than 10.
Right. Right.
What am I missing here?
Nothing. Like, you had it. You got it. It's greed. It's greed, and in some cases, it is willful ignorance. In some cases, it's necessitated by need, because people are feeling they're not going to be able to survive if they don't just put the blinders on and go back to work business as usual. And if college, you know, if universities in this country are so financially strapped right now and threatened by the virus, and they're going to jump into that mix, that is a very, you know, dangerous scenario would be approaching. And I don't have any desire to get into a large group of people. I pretty much have written off the calendar year in terms of any travel or any large venue attendance. It's not on my itinerary, and I doubt that's going to change before we hit 2021. It's greed. It's greed, or it's just such a need, whether it's you know it or you don't know it, to just try to get back to some form of normalcy.
And so I put this on social media. Who is interested in going to an event with 20 to 30,000 people right now? And the responses are pouring in faster than I can read them.
Right.
Like, sure. Yes. Yes, I am. Thanks for asking. Without question, I would go. The hoax is ending soon. I'd go to a Cubs game tomorrow and not even be worried about it. People get sick all the time. Take care of yourself and go on with life. Yes. Why wouldn't you? Stay home if you're scared. And it's just one after the next, 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 after the next. It's constant. So that's that. Now this story on ESPN.com. They talked to 85 different sources across baseball, on ownership, players, health advisors to the game, all of them. This is what the current plan is looking like. Let me give you a few of the fun little details in this plan. All right, let's see here. Gotta make sure I got this right. Major League Baseball's plan to start the season by the 4th of July relies on a dizzying array of moving parts, including the cooperation of 27 U.S. cities, a foreign country, the availability of more than 200,000 reliable coronavirus tests, and a promise not to interfere with the nationwide fight to contain the pandemic. What's at stake here is human life. Andy Dolick, a Bay Area consultant who has worked as a senior executive for teams in every major sport, said. That might sound overdramatic, but it doesn't sound overdramatic to me. All of the people involved, that's the person with a name who has a family. This was a quote, because baseball is apparently going to be losing $75 million a day, according to one estimate. The Milwaukee Brewers player representative, Brent Suter, player representative for the union, said his concern is this: if we get the plan going and everyone does what it takes to get this to work, and then it just infects the system, it might induce a panic throughout the country. Like, oh my gosh, they couldn't even do it with all of these precautions. That's a fear of mine for sure, end quote. Because some of these proposals are, you know, no Uber or taxi to and from the game. You have to wear your jersey to and from the game. No access in the locker rooms. No high fives. No spitting. No showering at the ballpark. So this is how I feel today. Maybe I'll feel differently tomorrow. I think they're going to start sports and then they're going to stop them, because it feels like we are rushing back to this, and everyone is just, there's a domino effect happening of pressure to do it. There will be a second wave and then sports are going to stop. And we're going to regress to where we were a couple of months ago.
Yeah, you've come over to my side. I've had this feeling for several days now, maybe even weeks, because it does appear that it's going to happen, whether it should or shouldn't. And I'm not even issuing an opinion on that. I have one, but that's just saying whether it's going to start. And that's according to people who are way smarter than we are on the topic. It does concern me, but I am none surprised by it. And the militants that I have seen firsthand in Northwest Indiana, where I spend 98% of my time, I was out a little bit today, but it's ridiculous. And it doesn't seem people are treating this, even people who I know who did treat it with the reverence they, you know, it deserved early on, are getting very lazy. And maybe it's something that a psychologist would call systematic desensitization. The more time you spend around something that terrifies you, the less terrified you become, whatever the stimuli are. It's a scary time, and I just, because that is what's going to happen. There's not a doubt in my mind. It's going to start before the summer is over. I'm not so sure about college sports, even though that's been the latest, you know, feeling more people have had that college football's going to go on. I still am holding on to some hope that college football will be a February event right after the Super Bowl, as was planned maybe 6-7 weeks ago, and that was the daily conversation whenever someone talked college football. But yeah, there's going to be sports in August. There's not a doubt in my mind baseball is going to have some form of games in August, and I don't think it will take long just looking at simple math and human behavior and what people are going to do. There will be a stoppage because there will be more than a couple of guys in the same clubhouse who wind up testing positive for COVID-19, and then you've got to shut it all down.
A texter says at 6-7-11 in response to what we're talking about, Mac, hey, just a reminder, if you don't agree with businesses or sports reopening, you are not required to visit them. That's true.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's true.
Appreciate the permission to abstain.
Not the point. Like, when did we get so selfish that it's like, well, I want to do this, so I'm going to do this. And if you don't want to do this, you don't have to do this. Your consequences have actions for other people. You could be asymptomatic and transmit the disease to someone else. That could infect or overrun the hospital system. Like, 90,000 Americans have died in 2 months. I get the push to try to have sports back. I support the push to try to get sports back. Always, though, with the caveat of if it can be done safely. Why in the world you would need to have 30,000 fans at a game when you're arguably the most powerful athletic director in the country? It's one of the most profitable athletic departments.
Gene Smith is among the most powerful. Yes, I agree with that.
Like, how is that a responsible stance? Yeah. That is crazy.
Well, when have athletic directors at football factories been taking responsible stances on anything? You've seen the Urban Meyer contract. We've gone over it on the show.
I don't know, man. We can't keep living like this. We have to reopen. I completely get it. I support it. I feel for people who are in worse off economic shape than I am. I truly, truly do. But like, do it smartly. Like, there's a huge difference between easing back into society in small groups with the youngest and healthiest among us and saying, let's put 30,000 people in the horseshoe and hope that they don't urinate next to each other at the stalls. Like, it's just, that is crazy to me. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And, it's worthy of noting that it would be easy for somebody to make.
And I think I said consequences have actions, by the way.
Yeah,
your actions have consequences.
Right, right. It was kind of a serious vibe, so I didn't want to play the mouth.
I said it so confidently.
I guess you really did. I mean, it was quite delicious. Thank you.
Now your consequences have actions.
Yeah. The action is a ventilator.
Sorry.
Where was I going here? Well, you know what? Somebody sees you physically, and you're a young guy. You're in your early 30s. You don't have a weight issue. They don't see you smoking because you don't smoke cigarettes. So they make the assumption, this guy's all right. This guy, what could possibly happen to him? And not having any clue or any desire to put any thought to what that individual I'm talking about right now, Danny Parkins, has to deal with. They don't know he has a 4-month-old at home who is immune compromised because he was born very premature. That's something that people aren't willing to look at. I don't think people seem to care. They look at how it affects only them, and if they find themselves to be, hey, this thing isn't going to kick my ass, So I'm not worried. I don't have asthma. I don't have a history of heart attacks. I'm not obese. I'm not old. Hell with it. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's how people are going to behave, and they're not going to give a thought to what each individual they see walking down the street has going on in his own or her own life that could put them in tremendous peril and set them up for a lifetime of tragedy.
It's just wild to me. People are like, well, I would go to the horseshoe with proper social distancing in place. And if everybody in there was safe and responsible and healthy, how are you going to know? Like, I don't know, man. That feels like step seven when we're at step one and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like, it's crazy.
Well, I got news today, too. My buddy I fished with last week for 2 days, and we did the very best we could to stay away from each other. He called me to inform me his wife has tested positive. She works in a hospital.
Great.
Yes. And so now I have that. Now, I think I've already had it, and I'm going to try real hard to jump through some hoops very soon to get a test just to confirm it. And then act on that. But yes, I'm sure there were times where we were within 6 feet of each other. You don't pass in a kitchen going to grab a cup of coffee while another guy's cutting a muffin or whatever without being within 6 feet. We couldn't. There's no way we could have done it 100% of the time. We violated a handful of times, I'm sure. But now that's on my mind, as it should be. As you know, as I've got to now be very protective in case I didn't have the virus when it came back from Arizona.
Yeah, listen, for all I know, right, I had it was asymptomatic, have the antibodies, but like that's the whole point. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. And that just reading this thing at ESPN.com, it's wild to talk just these are all of the things baseball is prepared to try to do, potentially, to start up the season. And I don't know how you read it and not feel like it's a house of cards, where if just one thing goes wrong, the entire thing crumbles.
Yeah, it's a house of cards for anybody involved. Anybody who's a participant, a member of a team, a member of a media crew, umpire, anybody who has to work at the event, it's you know, it is a risk to them, and that we are succumbing to this need to have athletic competition for our nation to preserve its sanity nauseates me. It really does. So I guess I am the guy who's saying, who cares when sports come back? Maybe that is me, more than I even recognize. But the more I hear people say it, the more it appalls me. And it started with Pritzker last week when he pointed the finger at baseball players and said exactly that. People need their sports right now. No, people more than ever need to be smart and put sports into God-blessed perspective. That's what people need to do. They don't need to wonder about how baseball's new rules are going to work with, you know, the three batters, all the stuff that baseball did to change. That can wait. Okay? Let's get a handle on this. We got to have our sports. And, you know, bite my ass. You don't need your sports back that bad. If you do, I feel sorry for you. Honestly, there are other forms of entertainment. Really, get a grip on yourself, America. God almighty, it floors me that people are this reliant on it. Let it go. Let it go. It's sports. It doesn't matter.
We want
matter.
Our sports back.
You know, you'll get it back when it's right.
Exactly.
You got one of the greatest pandemics globally, you know, in the history of the world, potentially, and people have to have baseball, and they want conclusions to their NBA and NHL seasons because these guys owe it to us, some people will say. My goodness, now you've gotten me in a bad mood.
Well, yeah, here it is. This is it. This is it. In a nutshell, it is a 3-sentence text message. My daughter and wife are fine. I am fine. I won't stop what I do to live in fear. It's just incredibly selfish.
Yeah, it is.
It's like the people like, masks are weak.
It's living in fear. Yeah, living in fear. You can call it that. I see these signs in the suburbs. And they're growing. There's like every couple houses now you see it. It's like, faith before fear. All right, prayers are going to get it all done for us. And it's like, you know, I saw a few of them. I stopped. I thought it was a house that I kind of liked for sale. I thought, hey, there's one I might want to live in. And no, it says faith before fear. And I'm seeing them now all over the place. And, you know, in the have neighborhoods and also in the have not neighborhoods. I don't think your feelings on this are related to your income, to your race, to your spiritual convictions. I think it's just across the board. It's people are handling this very differently, and there are really no metrics that I think you say, well, this group feels more like this than another one. I think it's pretty split.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there, right? There's data that says that it's breaking, of course, on socioeconomic lines and access to healthcare, and plenty of this is becoming political. So there's, like anything, it's becoming divisive and chopped up the longer we go through it. But just within the sports universe, like, I crawl, walk, run. Like, the crawling is, what can we get back safely? People are talking about running and, like, let's put fans in the stands at college football games and not pay the players. Like, what? What are you talking about?
This is a great opportunity for us to keep the foot on the brake and reexamine some of the things that just have been so stupidly, you know, constructed. And that's one of them, college athletes right now with a real good chance to unionize. Now's a good time to do it. So, Gene Smith, you really want us? Oh, you want 30,000 people here so you can sell popcorn too? Okay. All right, let's sit down and talk about this. What's in it for us for a change? It's 2020, damn it.
I agree. And let's see here. Oh, the irony of sports talk radio hosts talking crap about those who are eager for sports to come back. Tone deaf much? We want them to come back too.
Yeah, we do. We do. But, you know, we're just, yeah, you know, we'll press on with other things. We've been just fine for 43 days of this nonsense. We've had entertaining athletes, former athletes, coaches. We've had a lot of different sports people on, throwing logs on the fire. We've been moving the media. I'm very happy with the work we've done. I don't know how many people have heard it compared to how many would typically hear the show. Probably a fraction. And hopefully we're cataloging some of the great stuff from some of the big names we've had on so we can share it once there is more normalcy in shorter form, not in the long form stuff we've done. But I'm pretty happy with the work we're doing. And you know what? And if you don't like what we're saying, you have the right now, just as you, to walk in that store with or without a mask, to punch the God blessed button if you don't like it.
No, don't walk in the store without the mask. Punch the button if you have to.
Well, you
please
have
don't
that
be so
right.
So.
No, you have the right because they don't require it. Some stores do. Most of them don't. Most of them don't even ask their employees to wear a mask.
Yeah, well, there's a difference, again, between Indiana and Illinois. If you're you are ostracized, at least with a lot of side eyes here, if you're walking without a mask. And I've seen people get turned away from trying to walk in places in Illinois without a mask. But it's, or at least be asked, hey, can you go back to your car, put on a mask? That happened at the UPS store just the other day. But it's wild, man. It is wild. Just I want sports back. I acknowledge that it's bad for business. It's bad for entertainment. It's good for morale. It should come back. We should try to get it to come back safely based on health experts, not because of money and we need something to do at 7 p.m. at night instead of talking to our families. Like, that's not a good idea. And then to jump to the finish line of, let's put 30,000 people in the horseshoe to watch amateur athletes play football for a team that's ultimately going to lose to Alabama again anyway. Like, just completely nonsensical. Completely nonsensical. It's McNeil and Parker's on the
says,
score.
Hold on a second. Says the guy who said LSU was offensively incompetent last year.
Oh, you just wait. If Clemson football can play again this year, Mac, they're winning it all. I'll say it right now. I'll say it right now. Best team in the country. Oh, okay, that was
smoke.
Fun.
Yeah, cigarette. Yeah. Cigarette.
Ooh, was that good for you?
Yeah,
it was good for me, too. All right, it's McNeil and Parker's on the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We have to get our sports back. I'm tired of watching baseball games that are 14 years old.
Absolutely. Got to get him back. We've got Steve Stone at
3 o'clock.
That's right. Scott Podsednik at 4. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score, where the segment is brought to you by DuckDuckGo Privacy. Want the same internet but more privacy? DuckDuckGo's got you covered. They help millions of people like you get privacy online without any trade-offs. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers all for free. DuckDuckGo Privacy Simplified. You had some texts you wanted to respond to, Mac?
Yes, I do. And thank you all for the text messages, be they supportive of our stances on this or against them. To those of you who have suggested, hey, see how you feel with your stance on keeping this country shut down when you lose your jobs, I do want to address that. It's something that I have spent time thinking about. I don't know if Danny has or not. I would guess it's a possibility, and we've already had a few casualties here at the radio station. I am 100% willing to accept whatever my employer requires of me. If I get fired in a month, I will accept that and not be angry about it. I already, as I'm closing in on a new employment services agreement, I forfeited a ton of vacation time that I was going to have for July. I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to do it. Don't pay me. I recognize there is financial injury going on here to the company right now. So this isn't about me. This is bigger than I am. And I have felt in a way like my generation and the one after me, and I've told you about this off the air. Danny, I think we deserve it. We've lived a charmed birth for many years in this country, and there have been many before us who suffered far greater tortures of the damned than baby boomers my age have. Guys a little bit older than I am who served in Nam, or at least had to register for Vietnam, World War II veterans, the Spanish flu going back more than 100 years. We have had a charmed existence for decades in this country. I don't feel for a second sorry for myself or anyone else of my generation. I really don't. We've been very lucky to not have anything like this for a long, long time. So if I lose my job, I will accept that willingly and hope for the best for everybody. That's honest. That's how I feel about it.
My generation has had two economic crashes since we've graduated college.
Yes, you have.
Well, you didn't. Have,
yeah, but you didn't lose any money as you were graduating college.
Because I had none.
You didn't. You had not had a chance to earn any yet.
That's true. No, but you right. That's true. Just entered a workforce that was a bear
stunted.
Market.
Yeah, stunted.
Yeah. Listen, that's well said. Listen, I'll be pissed if I lose my job. I can't say I'd be surprised. I don't believe that if I lost my job, I would stop believing in science. I don't think that that's a side effect of unemployment. It's really tough out there. 30 million plus Americans unemployed is awful. Awful. Historic stuff. Like it's wild to see some of the headlines that happen, frankly, and the stock market keep going up. Like it feels very tenuous. Like I totally, totally sympathize with that. I do. This job, as long as I have it, is to give my opinion and my assessment of the sports world and beyond and how it makes me feel. And when I see a cush, multi-millionaire athletic director say that they are looking at proposals and he is confident that they could put 30,000 people into a stadium to watch amateur athletics this fall, when I had just read a long, expansive report that baseball players are going to have to shower in their hotel rooms and wear their jerseys to and from the stadium. Like, I want to know what he is smoking and can I get some? Like, that's just irresponsible rhetoric to put out there. And if they do it, God help us all. Like, I hope they're right, but they're not basing that on science. Like, and so I hope they're right, but that's just, I didn't think that people were so willing to gamble with a global pandemic. I didn't think they were, but we are. Yeah, like, in the interest of money, people are willing to just, let's see how it goes.
Okay. With guys like Gene Smith, it's about money. With some people, it's survival. It's take my chances or my family doesn't eat. We're not talking about those people. We're talking about the people who don't need it. And we would include ourselves to some degree. I would. I'd include myself in that category. I won't be homeless if they fire me tomorrow. I won't.
No, of course. Listen, the whole thing was through the prism of sports. It was through the ESPN report on baseball and the Gene Smith comments on college football. And it's wild to me. Of course, man. Like, if you are paycheck to paycheck and your paycheck went away, these are desperate times, and it's infuriating how slow the unemployment portal is and how long it took to get that stimulus check and where the hell is my second stimulus check. And they cannot imagine that economic uncertainty, and I'd be willing to risk it too in that situation, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't be. But there's a big gap from that to let's go to the horseshoe and watch Ohio State play football with 29,000 of my closest friends.
Yeah.
There's a big gap.
Yeah. And meanwhile, maybe people will be watching at the Horseshoe Casino, which is located right between where you and I are right now. And when those businesses start to open up, because people have to have their sports, so that means they're going to have to bet on their sports, right? But sit six chairs away from each other, everybody. Then we'll all be fine.
Good luck with that.
Make
hey, Mac,
sure
you got
the
some
betting line. You got 6 feet between your feet and the guy in front of you. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say, I know we're going to lighten the mood here. You said you have some movie trivia a movie that we've discussed often on this show.
You bet.
We're going to do that before Steve Stone at 3 o'clock on The Score.
One full of love. Jan, the flower.
Is that a wine?
A creature of the senses.
What did I tell you about wine? You wine, you don't eat.
You won't believe
I will throw this in the trash. I don't want to, but I will. You understand?
Starting
all right.
Stephanie Mew. Chris. At the club, the date was going great. And where? Sudden change.
You know how musicians are. Either temperamental cats. Who knows what got into them?
Yeah.
Steve Stone in 10 minutes. That's what, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, right, Mac?
Yes, that was one of our Oscar nominees back this past winter. I was rooting for the Quentin Tarantino film, which gave this a spin in it as well. Deep Purple, all that music from 1969, which was when the film was set. This is why you watch a movie more than once. I got a three-part deep cut question for you here on something from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that I finished the third part of it today. And here's how it goes. Now, you're a dog owner. You have Omar, and you've had other dogs in your life, right?
Yeah, yes, I have, yeah.
Scene we just heard there, Brad Pitt's Oscar-winning role as Cliff Booth, the stunt double for Rick Dalton, played by Leo DiCaprio. Every dog food has a brand name. There's Alpo? When I had a dog years ago, Gaines Burgers. What does the O train eat? What's his brand? What is your
Purina?
Purina
dog food. Yeah.
Okay. Do you happen to know the slogan for Purina dog chow? Is there something it says at the top of the package?
No, I know that for a while it was grain-free, and then the vet all of a sudden was like, the science has turned against grain-free. That's terrible for dogs now. So just in the middle, it went from grain-free to having grain. So no,
okay.
I don't know. I apologize.
I bet you know the third component, and that would be the flavors that
he gets? He's mostly a chicken, like a chicken-based.
He's a chicken man.
Yeah. It's mostly chicken-based, but we sometimes change it up. We've done the
isn't that nice? Based.
Yeah, lamb based, salmon based. They've got all sorts of flavors, but we mostly go with the yellow bag, which is the medium breed size chicken based Purina dog food.
Okay. In Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Cliff Booth's dog Brandy ate this brand of dog food, which had at the top of the can this slogan for the product. And what are the three flavors? Which is what I got today. I didn't notice the flavors until today.
Matt, how many times have you seen the movie?
Probably 10.
Okay. It's a 3-hour Quentin Tarantino movie that you've seen 10 times.
Yeah. Not start to finish. I mean,
in the last year. That's 30 hours with this movie. I've seen it like 1.5 times. I'm not going to get this. I wasn't even. If you would have said, "What is Cliff Booth's dog's name?" I wouldn't have gotten Brandy.
Yeah. So, and Brandy is audio clue. This is not an audio clue. You have to read the can when Cliff opens those cans with the old school can opener. Texters are on the brand name. The brand is Wolf's Tooth.
Okay.
Which I thought was that the first time I saw it? Did that say Wolf's Tooth brand? And then above it, because that kind of grabbed me, and I think I got this the first time I watched the movie, what the slogan of Wolf's Tooth dog food is. It's good food for mean dogs. Gotta love Tarantino. And the three flavors, one of the texters has one of the three flavors only, because this is what I didn't pick up. There, somebody just ran the table, I think, on this. It's the flavors are raccoon flavor, bird flavor, and rat flavor.
Jesus.
That's Quentin Tarantino. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why you watch a movie over and over again, to capture some of the nuance that a guy like Quentin Tarantino gives you. Rat and raccoon flavored dog food. Good food for mean dogs. It's
so if you Google
tooth.
That up, or YouTube it up.
I wonder if that's even, like, if anyone has written about that on a website. Like, if you even could Google the answer to that trivia question, or if that is just like a Dan McNeil original. He watched it 10 times, his head was in the clouds when he saw the scene for the 7th time, and he wrote down that trivia question, because that is the deepest of deep cuts, and I respect the hell out of it. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm years away from being that deep in my knowledge on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, if I'll ever get there. I'm not sure
if
I will.
Yeah, well, you've seen Rounders 25 times, and you couldn't tell me the name of the facility where Worm did his time the other day.
That's true.
A couple weeks ago when it came up. That was recent, yeah.
Danny, I'm just a disappointment.
You can get a Wolf's Tooth dog food t-shirt. I know you like your novelty tees. You can get one online. It's got the slogan and everything, and the shirt comes in rat flavor.
That's great.
I'd just like to apologize.
Yeah, for the Tarantino fan in your life who has a dog.
Tanny, can you just can you order that in a what do we need at this point, Mac? You're down 15 pounds. XL or 2X?
I'll be in an XL by the time I see you guys. Yeah, I'm
just order that in an XL. I'll give you my credit card during the break. Let's just get that for Mac right now. He needs that t-shirt. How about that? Boom!
That's sweet of you.
I've let you down in the trivia. The XL rat dog food shirt is on me. If that's not a sign of love, I don't know what
is. Oh no, they're out of stock in the XL.
Oh!
Make it a 2X then, and I'll wear it as a nightshirt and have no motivation to push myself away from the table.
Nope.
Perfect. Steve Stone, is he optimistic about the return of baseball, and what were his interactions like with Michael Jordan? Because he had a couple. Steve Stone, next on The Score.
Hey, you're Rick Dalton. Don't you forget it.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.